Today's program has been brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. Made with a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. For more information, visit www.rt11.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We're Allie and Jackie, and you're listening to Just Food Stories, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. If you miss the live broadcast, you can always find us archived at heritageradionetwork.org and as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Just Food is a nonprofit organization committed to helping people build community food projects. We know that people all over New York City know that we need to change our food system, and they want to make that change. But so often, people don't even know where to start. So we'd like to take the next hour and introduce you to some people who started taking their passions and skills to bring change. Hopefully, their stories will inspire you to create your own Just Food story. Today's guests are Paula Lukacs, CSA Program Manager at Just Food. Paula has been working in the world of community and program development in New York City for 18 years and has been working as the CSA Program Manager for Just Food for close to 10 years. Paula has a lot of cred. She obtained her BS in economics and sociology from Notre Dame, a master's in social work, and a certificate in conservation biology from Columbia. And on the phone, do we have Dawn?
Yes. Good morning.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Dawn.
On the phone, we have Dawn Rizzo, who first became a member of the SICSA, so that's Staten Island CSA,
yes,
on the North Shore in 2009 and has been one of their distribution site coordinators since that time. This year, Dawn has been working with farmer John Kruger of Circle Brook Farm to bring CSA to the rest of Staten Island. The Mid-Island CSA and the South Shore CSA will be starting up this June for the 2014 season. Hi there, both of you.
Hello.
And welcome to Just Food Stories.
So, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Paula, we wanted to start with you because we know that this is the time, even though it's freezing cold outside and very little is growing, if anything at all, this is the time you really want people to start thinking about starting a CSA in 2014. So, or it's kind of maybe even late for people to start thinking about starting a CSA in 2014. So if I wanted to start a CSA, and actually we should start with explaining what a CSA is. Could you do the honors?
Sure, I'm happy to explain it. So CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture, and it's a way of people here in the city connecting directly to a local farmer and buying their food directly from that farm. So the farmers that we work with are all within 250 miles of the city, and they're connected to folks in communities and workplaces here in New York City. And the thing that's unique about CSA is you have that direct relationship with the farmer for the entire season. During the off season, so now till through the spring, people join the farm, and for an upfront payment of money, they then get a delivery of what was ready to be harvested every week throughout the season. And the season is June to October or November, so about 20 to 24 weeks. And so whatever was ready to be harvested that week on the farm, the farmer harvests it, bring it down to the city, and each member gets their share of that week's harvest.
And there are a lot of CSAs in New York City. Back in 95, when Just Food was founded, there was only one CSA in New York City. Today, there's over 115 CSAs throughout the city. And Paula Lukacs has been involved in almost, not quite every single
not
one of them,
quite
but
all of them.
The vast majority of those have had some helping hands from Paula. So if I wanted to get some helping hands from Paula, if I wanted to figure out how I could help to start a CSA, if there's not one in my neighborhood, what should I be thinking about, and how would I get started?
Well, the first thing you really want to do is to bring your community together around it. So if you have this idea, the first thing is to kind of reach out and talk to other people, your friends, your neighbors, people at different, community spots in your city, in your neighborhood, to see what the interest is, to see if other people would like to join you in creating a CSA for your community. So that kind of bringing together and making it a community effort right from the get-go is really important.
So and I know that that can include schools. I mean, one of the things, both CSAs that I started, just as an aside, I went to the parents and the administration of the school that my kids were in. Because I think that's a really good place to start. For
guys listening, parents out there, you can go to your school, parents, fellow parents and administrators. Schools are a great place to run a CSA.
Absolutely.
So I know that like some CSAs are small, 30 people. Some of them are humongous, like 200 families involved. So how many people if I wanted to start a CSA, how many people would I have to find in order to get started?
I mean, to really get started, you only need a couple of other folks who think it's a good idea and a sense that there's the interest in your community. Eventually, we ask groups that are starting out to get to about 30 to 50 members. So that's kind of ultimately what you're shooting for. But just to get going, a few people who think it's a good idea and a sense of the interest in your community is really what you need to get started.
And would they just say, hey, here we are, we're these five parents and this is a teacher, and just go on Just Food website and get to Paula and
yeah, absolutely.
Do it?
That's at that point, that's when you can reach out to me and we can kind of, I mean, the whole point of Just Food's programming and getting CSA started is to make it as easy as possible, both on the farmer end and the community end, and really so you don't feel like you have to reinvent the wheel. There's 115 CSAs out there, and we've learned a lot, so there's no reason that you should have to start from scratch to start your own.
Can we break it down a little bit more also, just in terms of what, you know, I always call it kind of like the win-win-win. Like, it's just good for everyone. There's no... It just doesn't seem like there's any negative other than the occasional, you know, you get a root and you have no idea what it is or how to cook it. But, you know, that's kind of...
I actually think that can be a win.
I think that's a win. I've heard people don't necessarily love that part of it, but...
It's the cooking adventure part
of it. Exactly. But can you break it down a little bit more? I mean, really, ultimately, why is this such a critical piece of improving a food system for all of us? And how does it help the farmers?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it is a real win-win. You know, it's a way for consumers to both know where their food's coming from, to have a direct relationship with the person, people who are growing their food, can ask questions, learn how it's being grown and why the varieties are chosen that are chosen, and all of the things that are behind the way our food is grown that we don't normally know. Mm-hmm. And on the farmer's end, they have this consumer base that is committed to them, that has, you know, gotten into this with them at the beginning and committed for the season, so they know when they put out all of the effort and time and money during the off season so that they can have things growing during the season, that food that they'll be growing will have a home. Right. That it'll come down and it'll end up in somebody's kitchen and refrigerator and on their dinner plate. So it gives stability in marketing, and the farmers also like knowing who they're growing for. You know, they like having that connection as well. And then the consumer has this amazingly fresh, picked the day before it's brought to you, food that's grown for them.
And how does a CSA find a farmer? Where do they start in that process?
So that's where Just Food is also really helpful. We have a process where farmers apply to be part of our network. They fill out an application, and we're really looking for farmers that are local, our definition being 250 miles from the city, farms that are either certified organic or using sustainable organic growing practices, and that are growing a diverse array of food so that, you know, through those 20 weeks, you can get a lot of really interesting things and, you know, different things throughout the season. So we've kind of done some of that homework for the groups, and then we can kind of figure out what a good fit is. The size of the group, the price, the type of share size, all of those slight differences between CSAs and between farms, and we can find good fits between communities and farmers and kind of play matchmaker.
Cool. That's great. Dawn, do you want to tell us a little bit about, did you know you wanted to be in a CSA? How'd you get to Just Food?
So originally I'm from Brooklyn, and I came to Staten Island, and I've always been concerned about health and nutrition, and I started to explore to see what was available by way of organic produce, and the Staten Island CSA on the North Shore of Staten Island was the only thing that was available. So when I started at that CSA, I came with the intention that I know we need more of these on Staten Island, but you know, because of fear and not knowing the community and not knowing if the community was even ready, mm-hmm. I said, let me start with the North Shore, and I stayed there for a few years. When Hurricane Sandy came, that changed everything. Essentially, I had been practicing at a local yoga studio, so you were referring to earlier as these community centers.
Right.
Well, the yoga studio already had the intention of wanting this, but when Hurricane Sandy happened, it sort of became the catalyst for this idea to really unfold.
And is that because you had a hard time getting food? Is that because the community came together? Like, what was sort of the link between the hurricane and really the drive for the CSA?
Well, I think the hurricane really showed the true nature of people, that people were willing to come together and actually participate and volunteer. And, you know, most of the area that we focused on was Fox Beach, and the community had been the hardest hit on Staten Island. And for some reason, it just grew out of that. We made amazing relationships. And once I put it out there that I had been doing this on the North Shore already, people had an interest and they wanted to participate, but they said that it was too far away from them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in essence, if you, I mean, consider it like as if it was going from Park Slope to Williamsburg to do a pickup. Like, it just
right.
didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is manifested trying to create one, and it turned out that now we're creating two.
How did you go from being a member of a CSA to wanting to take on this leadership role and take on all the work of starting new CSAs, Dawn?
It just happened. You know, when Hurricane Sandy happened, I kind of got thrown into a leadership role there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was basically taking volunteers and asking them to go and help demuck some of the houses and help construct some of the houses and get information from some of the residents to help them. So I sort of became a coordinator anyway. That was my role in Hurricane Sandy. So this just became a natural fit.
And did most of the people that you talked to from your yoga community group, did they know what a CSA was, or did you sort of have to explain it from the get-go?
Well, even yoga for Staten Island was a bit foreign.
Right.
So even that was so new. And no, I did have to explain it. And, you know, there was a couple times where I actually brought my produce to the studio to kind of show them what came in the box.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they were very intrigued and interested. And yeah, it's just been an amazing journey so far.
And why two? How did it turn into two?
Originally, I had canvassed a bunch of the churches in our area, and two of them were very receptive and really wanted this for their community. They felt that it was a good addition to their congregation,
mm-hmm.
and they had the space, and they knew that the community needed it and wanted it. So I'm just going with it.
And then did you call Paula?
Well, that was the first thing that I did. I actually reached out to Just Foods, and Paula's been a great help. And she has kind of given me that guidance to walk through the steps. I mean, obviously, I've had some experience, and I can take that with me. But speaking to Paula routinely helps me reinforce the process and think clearly ahead of the game,
right.
so I'm not missing any steps.
Yeah.
This is great. Dawn, we're going to ask you to stay on the line. We need to take a short break, but we'll be right back with Just Food Stories on heritageradionetwork.org.
Ooh, Lord, baby. Oh, baby, can't you hear me crying? Oh, can you hear me now?
You are listening to Help Me Now by the California Honey Drops on the heritageradionetwork.org.
Oh, baby, can't you hear me cry? Oh, can you hear me now? Oh, baby, please help me now. Just one more time. Well, I admit, baby, that I was wrong. Yes, I was. Oh, baby, but living without your love. Sweet darling, can't you see I can't go on?
following program has been brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. From the moment Route 11 Potato Chips dropped their first batch of chips back in the early days of 1992, they understood their destiny as a high-quality producer. Instead of succumbing to the frenzy of mass production, they took advantage of their small size and made chipping a personal art form. The payoff was immediate. An incredible potato chip. With a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. In this world of uncertainty that we live in, Route 11 Potato Chips believes comfort food should be just that. Know where your food comes from. For more information, visit RT11.com.
Welcome back. I'm Allie, and you're here with me and Jackie, and you are listening to Just Food Stories on heritageradionetwork.org. We are here with Paula Lukacs from CSA, and on the phone we have Don Rizzo, who is starting not one, but two new CSAs on Staten Island, and we're having a conversation about how to start a CSA, what a CSA is, why it's good for the community and for the environment and for you and for local growers.
I have a question that I'd love to hear both of you answer, and maybe Paula, we can start with you.
Sure.
But in your experience, how have you seen CSAs contributing to the social justice movement in the city? How I know that CSAs are very flexible and can look a lot of different ways, but how have you seen them most effectively addressing injustices in communities throughout the city, and what do you like to see in terms of commitment to social justice from CSA organizers?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the key pieces is that CSAs are community efforts. So it's really a community looking at what their community needs. And if a CSA is a good fit, people coming together to create the food system in their neighborhood that they want to see. So it's very participatory. It's nobody from the outside coming in and saying, this is what you need, this is what you should be doing. It's the community making the decision for themselves of what they'd like to see happening. Mm-hmm. Just Food works with farmers and organizers to make sure that the financial piece of CSA, while still being supportive for farmers and making sure that they can make a living and keep farming, also is flexible enough so that anybody can join regardless of their income and financial position. So
how do they do that? How do you make CSA? Because I know, you know, you want to give a good price to the farmer. You want the farmer to be able to live off of the money that they're getting from growing for CSA. But how do you pack in the flexibility to make it truly financially accessible for anybody in New York City to participate?
Yeah, I mean, it's one way that we try to create another win-win so that farmers are getting a fair price and they're, you know, getting money. One of the big upsides for the farmers is that they get some of the money at least at the beginning of the season when they have so much outlay of costs. One of our farmers was saying that he spends 50% of his yearly outlay between January 1st and March 1st. So mm-hmm. when they're not selling anything.
Right.
So
right.
It's a huge help for the farm to be able to get that initial commitment of financial commitment. But not everybody can do that. And we want to make sure that that isn't a barrier to people getting amazing food through CSA. So groups and farmers work together to do flexible payment options, sliding scale. So some people pay a little more, so other people can pay a little less. Just spreading the payments out over time so it's not one lump sum during the off season. A lot of groups accept SNAP, food stamps, as CSA payment, and that also spreads the payments out throughout the season. A lot of CSAs and Just Food works with groups to provide subsidies to lower the cost a little bit from outside fundraising and outside commitments from other folks in the community. So there's each CSA really comes up with their own mix of what works for them and their farm and what their community needs to create those financial that financial flexibility to make mm-hmm. sure that cost isn't the reason that mm-hmm. Isn't a barrier to people being involved.
And Don, in your experience, has cost been a barrier to entry for CSA in the communities that you're working with in Staten Island? Is that something that you guys have had to address, and how are you guys thinking about that?
Well, on the Staten Island CSA, I mean, that particular group, originally there wasn't sort of any kind of programming for people with lower income that maybe wanted to get in on the CSA, but now they're working towards, they just created they incorporated the SNAP program into the Staten Island CSA, so now they're addressing some of those needs and issues in the community. I agree with Paula, though. You know, for our communities, we're going to have to be really active participants and be aware of the community's needs. It may be very different than what's going on the North Shore, so perhaps the SNAP program is not going to be something that fits. Mm-hmm. So we just have to be in awareness of what the needs are and tweak the program to fit those needs.
And there's other ways I know that CSAs can address this, the social and community needs. So I know that a lot of them have donation relationships. Can you talk a little bit more about that, Paula or Dawn, if that's something that you guys are doing?
Sure. I mean, all of the CSAs, you know, inevitably there's some food that's left over at the end of the night, people who weren't able to pick up their share, the farm just sends extra. And we want to make sure that that food doesn't go to waste and that it's getting to folks who need it. So CSAs have relationships with food pantries and soup kitchens and senior centers, and possibly their distribution site might have connections to folks who could really use that food, but maybe not be able to be a member of the CSA or not yet interested in joining for the whole season. And it's a really great way to make sure that folks who really need it are getting some very high quality, amazing food, and making sure no food goes to waste, because that would be a shame. Mm-hmm.
Did you know, I mean, going back to sort of your Just Food story, did you know when you, I mean, it's an interesting combination to do social work and economics, mm-hmm. right? So clearly you were thinking something social justice from the get-go. Is that correct?
Yep. Absolutely.
And how did it get to CSA?
Well, I mean, I worked as a social worker and mm-hmm. kind of direct service for many years, and was looking to do something different, really interested in food. I had heard about CSA. I was a CSA member. I had volunteered at Just Food, and it really just seemed to bring together all of my interests, mm-hmm. my interest in economics, my interest in social justice. I did a social justice volunteer program, so right. it kind of just brought my food interest, my environmental interest. Just I feel like CSA brings together so many different pieces right. of people's interests and community development and communities coming together. And I'm from the Midwest, so farmers and right. you know, supporting regional farmers and keeping them in business. It just seemed like, I mean, so many wins all in one place.
And it does show, I mean, one of the things that I like about it, just sort of like theoretically, is that it shows that there can be a business. It is a business.
Yes.
And there can be financial stability, but also have a good heart. And it's sort of the original slow money concept that, you know, you're making an investment in something. You don't expect more than what you're going to get, but you also expect a certain level of return on that. And people can afford to pay their bills and send their children to school growing food, because at the end of the day, if they can't, then why would they?
And, right. and that's one of the things that I love about the CSA model is it's, I feel like it's a relationship driven transaction. Like you're investing mm-hmm. in so much, you're investing in the community invests in a relationship with the farmer. It goes deeper than just like I'm paying $5 and I'm getting a vegetable. Like it's,
right.
it's, it's transforming the way that people interact with their food system by building community around the food system. And I feel like CSAs have such creative ways of manifesting that way of engaging and building community around the food system. And I'd love to hear, Dawn, like what your ideas are, what has worked for you in terms of like community interaction through CSA, both what you've experienced at the Staten Island CSA and what your hopes are for the CSAs that you're developing.
And add on to that a little bit about the challenges specific to Staten Island. You know, I think that there's like logistics issues probably too that I think people might be interested in hearing about.
So what was the first question again?
Just community stuff. Like, I feel like the people are building community around and through their CSA. And I want to know about, like, what you've experienced as a member and then a coordinator of the Staten Island CSA and kind of what your hopes are in terms of community building for the CSAs you're developing.
Okay. So in terms of that question, I would say that what I'm hearing a lot of speak to is a lot of horticulture and a lot of young individuals that want to participate in these groups that are very interested in agriculture and like being farmers, and also people that are very into nutritional training and nutrition counseling. And so this whole community is sort of coming around the CSAs right now, mm-hmm. which is inspiring. I think it's going to change and make these CSAs very unique in comparison to the Staten Island CSA.
Mm-hmm. Do you already have the farmers?
We are using the same farmer that the North Shore is using. Just because I've already developed a relationship with him, he is very passionate about what he does, and he is very willing to work with us. If we get a certain amount of members, he's willing to give us a share for every 25 that we get. So that's a good trade-off, because then we can give that share to someone in the community who really may need it. That goes back to food justices.
Right.
Paula, what else have you seen in terms of like CSAs using the structure of CSA to build community and to engage build community through CSA?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it. I've seen just amazing connections being made. It's always really fun as like a sort of outsider to attend potlucks and meet your farmer events when farmers come down to the city and hang out with their members and tell stories about their farms, and to see people make those connections and to see little kids, say, "Oh, my farmer, Ted," and have that direct connection. To go on farm trips, people get the opportunity to go out and visit their farm every year. So seeing people go out there and really make the connection between the hard work that it takes to grow food and the trip that the farm makes every week to bring their food to them here in the city, and that food that ends up on their plate and feeds them throughout the week. So seeing those connections, seeing people just year after year. We had one person who had moved to a totally different neighborhood but made the trek to their old neighborhood to pick up their CSA share every week because they were so connected to their farm and they loved them and they didn't want to switch.
That's so beautiful.
Here are some amazing stories of people's just like long time commitment and connection to the people who are growing their food.
I know that at Haven's Kitchen, you host a CSA, and I'm sure you've seen people making connections. What kind of exciting things do you see that is like building community through the CSA at Haven's?
I mean, it's been pretty amazing to watch. It's different because we are a business, so we didn't really need to build a community to support anything. We just sort of sent out to our mailing list, "Hey, who would be interested in this?" And we got a lot of response, and we will get even more response in 2014. But customers, who come in for their coffee, we know them because they come in every day, but they, one customer comes in at 8:30, one customer comes in at 9:15 every day. They've never met. But all of a sudden, they're meeting over, their turnip and discussing what they made last week with their mustard greens. And, wow, did you saute them? Because I steamed my... I mean, it's just wonderful. It's wonderful. I mean, our business is firmly rooted in a community-building mission. So this is just this added layer of joy because, obviously Haven's Kitchen is trying to build community around food, primarily around cooking. And so this just fit in so perfectly. We would like to be able to expand out a little bit more and have people who aren't necessarily our regular customers have access to the CSA, and we're all sort of trying to figure out how to make that work in year two or year three. And so I think it's just a good starting place for a real... I think if something happened, some kind of natural disaster or some kind of yucky situation, I feel like all of our guests, primarily because of the CSA experience, would come to Haven's. Like, it would actually be the place that people would go to if,
I think they needed
a safe spot.
I think that's part of what makes this work easier for all of us, for what you're doing at Haven's, for what Paula does in terms of helping people start CSA, and for Dawn, what you're doing starting CSAs. I think food is a touchstone for everybody, and it's a great way to reach out and make connections and to build community. So, Dawn, thank you so much for the work that you're doing in Staten Island and for joining us today. Paula, thank you for making time in your busy schedule. I'm afraid that's all the time we have, but I really appreciate you guys coming out and joining us. Joe is the engineer for today's show. Thank you so much for being in the booth there. I hope you guys will all inspire us with your CSA stories and get in touch with us if you have more to share and create your own Just Food story. You can always find archived episodes of Just Food Stories on heritageradionetwork.org or as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Remember, if you have any questions for the program, you can call in live at 718-497-2128 or email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. See you next week, and thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.